It's Saturday, the 13th of June, day 84. At this time of year in the pre-pandemic era, we would be making preparations for our annual drive through France to Provence. We'd be booking the car onto the Eurostar shuttle from Folkestone to Calais, checking that the autoroute toll RFID on the car's windscreen was working and registered, booking into the hotels we stay in en route to the south, checking travel insurance, figuring out who would look after the cats and our ancient goldfish, who's now a certified 25 years of age, by the way. We know that because my son got him on his 10th birthday, and he's now 35, and so on. The usual stuff you do when you're going to be away for a month or two. This year, though, we had decided well in advance that we wouldn't be able to make the trip, and so we're reconciled to being confined to our house and its environs for this summer. To be honest, this really wouldn't be much of a penance. But as a thought experiment, we decided to explore the possibility of travelling to Ireland in July, just to see what would be involved in current pandemic circumstances. The experiment was prompted by the discovery that one of our favourite hotels in Ireland is going to reopen on July the 20th. So what kinds of arrangements would we need to make to get there for a holiday? Normally, we'd have taken a flight to Ireland and rented a car. That's what we've done for many years. And it turns out that Ryanair plans to operate a very limited flight schedule from Stansted, our nearest airport, to Cork in July. Our judgment, though, was that passing through an airport, even one that will presumably be relatively quiet, and then spending 90 minutes in an aluminium tube with the largest number of complete strangers, might not really be such a good idea. So, no air travel for us this year. That leaves the car. The alternative would be to drive and cross the Irish Sea by ferry. And ferry services are running and presumably still will be in July. Stena Line, for example, runs 4 crossings a day from Holyhead to Dublin. It looks significantly more expensive than flying, but what the hell. Next, the car. Since we'll now be travelling from a third country to an EU one, the old system whereby one's car insurance automatically applied so long as one stayed in the EU no longer applies. So, we'll need to get a green card from our insurer. Still, it is not a problem, it's just a bit more hassle. Then there's the matter of travel insurance. Previously, every time we travelled to an EU country, we simply took our EHIC card. That's the one with our UK NHS numbers on it. And the card would entitle us to access medical services anywhere in the EU if we suddenly needed to. So now we need to check whether the worldwide travel insurance we've had for years will cover the possibility of us falling ill with COVID-19 while abroad. This looks as if it might be tricky. It turns out that some insurers offer what they call CFAR, that's cancel for any reason cover, but at a steep premium. And that doesn't necessarily cover the costs of hospitals. And because it was the weekend, I was unable to check whether our existing policy could provide cover for COVID. Still, I thought, most problems can be solved if you're prepared to throw money at them. But then all of these difficulties suddenly paled into insignificance. From reading the relevant government websites, I discover that A, inessential travel is not allowed, or at any rate is definitely discouraged. And B, the Irish government expects us to self-quarantine for 14 days after arrival. And the UK government expects us to do the same on our return. Now, I know the second quarantine period can be at our home near Cambridge, but it still looked as though a simple trip to Ireland in July would involve a 14-day quarantine on arrival, not to mention incurring the displeasure of the authorities, who might regard a trip to stay in a favourite hotel as a bit frivolous in these desperate times. And the conclusion of this instructive thought experiment? It is that we'll be spending the summer at home. The cats and the fish will be pleased, and we'll have a fine crop of tomatoes because they'll be properly watered every day. And we can smugly obey that old adage, which says that the good tourist is one who sends his money and stays at home.